Hey, welcome to our Intentional Living Solution Center here, solving problems, big ones and little ones, by living intentionally in Christ. That's the best approach, knowing Him and living it every day. And what we know is that it brings glory to Him and benefits us. And so when we declare our intention and then develop the habits that follow, wow, positive things happen. Today, we're just kind of leaving the phone line open. Maybe you have a question for me. Maybe you're struggling with an issue. Maybe you'd like to tell me how you're being intentional in your life as we're starting out this brand new year. In fact, you've probably heard me mention by now that this is going to be a year of living on purpose. I'll talk more about that as well during this half hour. I'm Randy Carlson. This is Intentional Living. Our phone line is 888-888-1717. My email, or our web address rather, is theintentionallife.com. And Shannon is first in line today from Texas, apparently having some issues with adult twins. Shannon, tell us about it.
Well, been a single mom since they were two, and they've never given me really any trouble. They're great kids. For the last year or so, one has been just increasingly disrespectful and disengaged with the family. They both graduated early in May. One's looking at college. The other one just refuses to even think about his future. He's frustrating me so bad. I don't know what to do with him. You know, I don't know how to. I've told him he can stay home as long as he's working full time, which he is working. Or, you know, I don't care if he doesn't want to go to college, but he can do a trade school or something. He just doesn't. He's just not motivated.
Have they been competitive with each other? Like one is the good twin and one not such a good twin with each other?
Not really. I mean, we haven't had any trouble until really just about the last maybe 18 months.
So up to that point, you didn't see any of this?
I didn't see any competition, no.
Yeah. Or did you see the discouragement of him just not wanting to keep going in life?
I have seen that, yes. They both have had some discouragement and little bouts of depression, but that just contributed to being teenagers, mm-hmm. You know.
Is Dad in their life?
No. He's refused to be a part of their life, and I know that's a big void, you know, for both of them.
Okay. Do you have other children?
No, just the boys.
All right. Well, listen, Shannon, a couple things. And I say this very respectfully. These boys are 22 years old. They're not boys anymore. They're men. And you're not running a bed and breakfast. This isn't Shannon's bed and breakfast or mom's bed and breakfast. You know, this is your home. And the fact that you're allowing them to live there, it sounds like they are, is giving them a gift. And that needs to be communicated. And I respect the fact that this is your home and that they're capable young men and they have challenges like we all do in life. But if they're going to live with me, if they're going to live with you, right, as mom, or if they were going to live with somebody else, they're not going to allow it to be a bed and breakfast and then be disrespected. I mean, you know, it's just not the way it is. And so bottom line, Shannon, I think you need to be intentional by sitting down with your boys and saying, guys, listen, I love you. We're not teenagers anymore. You're young adults. I'm glad to help you and support you as I can, but this disrespect has got to stop. And here's what I expect. And you want to write up a contract, do it. I mean, if you guys say, hey, here are the 10 things. Here's the intentionals for living in my house. Here they are. You know, we're going to communicate. We're going to have lunch together on Sunday. If you're living here, you're going to church with me on Sunday. If we're here, I respect your space. You know, you lay it out. These are the intentionals for you living home at 22. But if we can't follow these rules, then you're out. And it may include paying some of the bills and helping out around the home and doing some other things. So that's what I would do, Shannon. It's time for the boys to grow up because they're not boys, they're men. That's a reality. All right, appreciate it. I'd love to hear from some of you have been down this road. When I think of our kids, I'm thinking, one, two, three. We got three kids. One, three, three. Only one of them ever came. They went to college and then came back and lived at home. No, two of them did for a little while. But we didn't have these challenges. But I do recall when that happened that what happens is they come back with certain expectations because now they're adults and they've done their own thing and they want to come home and be there even for a short time and be the adult. And yet they want you to be mom and dad to do all the stuff they used to do, you know? And so if you don't have some opportunity to talk those things through and work them out and have a respectful understanding, it can create just unnecessary tension. And I'm thankful that didn't occur for us. But for those who have that challenge, sometimes you have to formalize it a tad, have the meeting, and get it in print. Okay, Linda in Iowa is having apparently some financial issues. Linda, tell us about it. How can I help?
Well, it's a struggle to get both of us in an agreement with money, and it just turns into confusion, and then it gets washed away, and it doesn't get solved.
What is the main problem as you see it, Linda?
When I find out that money is being taken out of the 401k for our retirement.
Do you know where it's going?
Well, my spouse said to four bills, and I said, well, if we had a budget and we worked on it together, then this would not be happening. And so it's just been a very, very big struggle for a long time.
Are you questioning where the money's going, or is it just you just like to know what's happening? Or
I'm not questioning it, but I just want to know.
You want to know what's going on.
I want to know what's going on, and if we can't do this together, then it's not going to happen together.
Uh-huh. How old are you guys?
We are in middle 60s.
Do you have adequate resources set aside for retirement?
Yes.
Okay. But you just want to know how it's handled. Are you both working, or is he working, or are you both retired?
Yeah, no, we're not retired. No.
Okay. Okay. Well, Linda, are you both on the same page spiritually? I mean, are you both believers?
No, we are not on the same page spiritually. We do not tithe together, and that's difficult.
Has it been kind of like your life and his life in this area? I mean, you're kind of living separate in terms of how to handle things?
That's a good way to say it, yes. And it's very frustrating.
In this area and others?
Yes.
Okay. Have you been able to talk to your husband about that?
I have, but he doesn't talk about it. He doesn't share.
Hmm. If you could get one thing different in your marriage, what would it be?
That we spend time together and share our hurts and our concerns with each other and not things being covered up.
There you go. Listen, I'd encourage you, Linda, to take that last sentence or two and have a little meeting with your husband and to look him right in the eye and say, honey, I love you. But I got to tell you, just flat out, It's hard for me to really, truly respect you and our marriage and to really be all that I want to be in this marriage when I feel like I'm like the third wheel on this bicycle. And that's got to change. And you have every right, Linda, to not be happy and not knowing where the money's going. If it's coming out of your retirement, not knowing. That's not the way to run a marriage, and it certainly isn't the way to run a business. I mean, let me just pull back and let you see what we do here at the ministry. At our ministry, we have staff that handle the finances, and because, you know, I have people who are capable of doing that and really love doing that, and that's what they manage. But every month, they generate a financial report, and the report is very clear where we are with income and expenses and what's on the budget and, you know, what's going on and if there have been any issues, and it goes directly to the leadership of the ministry, and it goes right to the board of directors, so the board sees it and manages it, and there's a lot of confidence, and we're all on the same page, and when decisions are made, we know it's managed within the finances. We have a budget that's put together, and that budget is carefully managed because we feel it's a stewardship responsibility to manage the support that you all give to help us manage this. You know, we talked about the end of the year just a week or two ago, knowing that all those funds that would come in would help us close out the year so we could be right on target with what God has given us and manage it correctly. I say all that to say this, Linda. I think that marriages, when it comes to finances, need to be run more like a business. You need to have a simple little budget, at least. I mean, it doesn't have to be complicated, but you should. I think every marriage, if you're married and you have a family, you should have two things. A balance sheet and an income statement. And you say, I don't even know what those are. Well, it's very simple. The balance statement is simply, what do we got and what do we owe? You subtract the two and whatever's left is the balance. That's the balance sheet. Now, it's a little more complex than that, but that's basically what it is. And a lot of people don't know. They would not even know how that adds up. And then on the income side, it's simply the budget of saying, hey, there's income we got from work or from, in your case, maybe get some retirement income or whatever. And then what are we spending? And make it, that's why we talk 10-10-80. Having the 10% tithe beginning with that attitude of tithing. I know in your case, you're not on the same page, but maybe for yourself to say, trust me, to your husband, allow me to do what God's leading us to do. Don't go to war with him over it, by the way. And then least saving, in your case, you're older, you may need to save more. And I don't know how much you got, but to save enough for the future. And then learning to live on the difference. You know all this, Linda. This is a relationship issue. And I would just encourage you to sit down with your husband and say, honey, we can't truly be have the kind of intimacy in our marriage at all levels if we can't be intimate around our finances. Because money is a area of intimacy in marriage. It really is. Okay, we're talking intentional living today. If you just joined us, you're welcome to join in with a comment on our comment line. Maybe you want to respond to Linda or Shannon or something else you've heard, or maybe what's going on in your life at 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Honey, can you run a couple of errands for me?
Where?
The pharmacy, the deli, and the car needs gas.
I don't know.
What do you mean?
That's a lot of places to go. Across town, through town, around town. I wish things were more like the Intentional Living mobile app.
Now I'm really confused.
It's everything Intentional Living, all in one place. I downloaded it from my app store, and it's got links to web resources, podcasts, shortcuts to Intentional Living on Facebook and Instagram.
That's great! Let me look at your phone while you run those errands, hmm?
Hey, listen, thank you for joining us here at Intentional Living. You can always join us with your comments at 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717 is the number on our comment line. And, of course, got helpful resources available at theintentionallife.com. Okay, Tracy, we're going to, let me see, line one, right? All right, let's go. I guess I've been directed. Let's go to Logan in Florida with a dating question for us today. Logan, go ahead.
Hi. So I'm currently in a dating relationship and serious about my faith. And there have been times in the past where my boyfriend I haven't seen him pursuing his faith as much as maybe I have. And I've wondered what your opinion was on being unequally yoked in a dating relationship.
Well, let's forget my opinion. Let's just see what the Bible says. The Bible is very clear. Do not be unequally yoked with a person who's a non-believer. Now, you can't judge someone else's heart. You don't know if a person's a believer or not, other than by watching their life. And so if you have some yellow flags at this point, Logan, toward your boyfriend, like, oh, I'm not quite sure where he is spiritually. Maybe question, is he doing this just for me and my benefit? Is he really seriously a follower of Christ? Ask yourself this question. If we were to make this a more serious relationship and we were actually to be married, and I could project out a year or two from now, and what I see in his life is what I would get in our marriage, is that going to be what I want, or what more important, was God want for me? And that's really the question you have to ask. And then I would encourage you to respond to that. My opinion now is when people marry someone and they're not equally yoked on a lot of levels, spiritual is one of them and most important. But you can even be spiritually on the same page and not be on the same page when it comes to other priorities in your life. About money or work or lifestyle or whatever. And while being on the same page spiritually is certainly a huge bond, but if you're not yoked in these other areas, it's just every time you have an area where you're not connected, you're not on the same page, it makes the marriage more stressed than ever. Okay? All right. You know, when we started this new year talking about living on purpose, this is going to be a theme throughout this year. And in fact, for members, this month, the teaching is 10 things successful people do on purpose. And members, watch for it. It's coming your way. And then next month, we're focusing on the love habits of couples living on purpose. And so every month, it's going to be an emphasis on what the Bible teaches and how to live on purpose. We want your life to grow and develop and be a part of that process with you this year. And so you'll be watching for it. Maybe in your life, you don't feel like you really have that purpose. It's not really clear. You're really struggling in some areas of your life. And we want to help you get that a little clearer from day to day. In fact, Laura is listening in Missouri and wants to tell us a story about living on purpose. Go ahead, Laura.
When I was 4 years old, my dad left my mom and created another family because he had gotten my stepmother pregnant. And it was really difficult because he just sort of pretended like we weren't there, even though we had visitation. It was as if the other family took precedence over his old family. And it was really difficult. But when I became an adult and I had a child of my own, I decided that I couldn't hold on to that bitterness anymore. So I confronted him one day and I just asked him if he wanted to be a part of our life. And he said he did. And I forgave him. And we developed a relationship. And I'm so grateful because he ended up passing away about 5 or 6 years after that. And I'm so grateful for those years when we were just able to be friends. He was never my daddy like he could have been, but we were friends, and I praise God for that.
Yeah, boy, that's a practical way of saying, hey, my life has purpose, this relationship has purpose, and I choose to, even though he was not daddy, he's dad, and I made something good out of something that wasn't so good. That's intentional living. Got more in a minute.
Remember when tying a string around your finger helped remind you of something? Well, it's not a thing anymore since that one guy ruined it for the rest of us.
That's really tight. I can't feel my finger anymore. Help!
That's why at the Intentional Living store, you can get your own wristband. It's a physical reminder that the intentional life is lived one right thing at a time. And when you use that wristband, the Power of One Thing book, and the free online Intentional One Thing challenge, you'll go from good intentions to developing transformational habits. The Intentional Living store at theintentionallife.com.
We look at people who are famous and say they're successful. We look at people who are rich and we say they're successful. We look at people who are great athletes and we say they're successful. Well, they are in that area. But they may be miserable in all the other areas of life. And they know it and we know it. And so I'm going to give a very simple definition of success today. Success is really knowing our purpose and living it. That's really what it is. Knowing our purpose and living it in every area of life. You know, that's a definition of really true success. And there's a lot of stuff written on success. I mean, you got this month, I'm sure, January, you're going to see it on magazine covers and you're going to hear it on radio shows and TV and online, you know, success. And often it's tied to financial success or fame or business success or married success. And of course, those are some measurements of success in our culture, but we know a lot of people who are successful in those areas and very unsuccessful at what matters most. And bottom line for me is the most successful thing in life is to know what our purpose is and live it. If you know what your purpose is and you're living it, that's success. And this month, that's the teaching. So members, hey, members only, we wish we could send this teaching out on CD to the whole world. But we don't have the resources to do that. So we're able to at least send a teaching, a fresh, brand new teaching on CD to members only every month. And so members, watch for it. It's coming your way. But this month, I want you to know, as you become a new member, we'll join you in immediately. And then every month, you'll be getting a brand new teaching from me to you to say thank you for your ongoing support. But also, if you can share, maybe that's not what you could do, but you could share a generous gift with the ministry this month, and I'd like to get it to you. So for those who are sharing a gift this month, we'll make sure you receive 10 things successful people do on purpose, okay? So if you could share a gift of $50 or $100 or whatever it is that God lays on your heart, it would be a great help as we start this new calendar year. So our gift to you, for those who share a gift with the ministry, the teaching 10 things successful people do on purpose. You take a couple of those, it'll be worth the investment of listening for sure. You know, we've been talking about today, by the way, did I give the address? Go to theintentionallife.com or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, press number 4. Don't want you to miss out on that information. You know, today, as we've been talking about this new year and living on purpose and taking calls, I want you to know that we're here for you every day during this year to encourage you on your journey. Okay, let's go to Anna. She's in New Mexico and has a comment about living on purpose. Annie, go ahead.
My comment is just on, I also went through a very bitter divorce. My ex-husband said quite a few lies to a family member. It resulted in a great rift in my family that has been very difficult to forgive. But because of that, I also lost my church through those lies. But what I did is I have focused on my church. I found a new one. I became a Baptist, and I was just recently baptized when I grew up a different religion. I have found through all of this that my faith has increased through all of these trials, that I've become closer to God. And I struggled for so long with how to forgive these people. How do I forgive them? And what it came down to was that I was so hurt. And once I was able to get plugged into this wonderful church and have a great therapist, I was finally able to let go of the hurt, which released all that bitterness and allowed me to finally forgive. And now I'm able to pray for these people where I wasn't able to before. And it's just a daily choice, and sometimes there's even some days where I do feel some of that bitterness, and I keep asking God to remove that bitterness and to keep me in a forgiving state.
And how is your life better now?
I sleep so much better. I'm a better employee. I'm a better mom. I'm a better daughter. I'm a better friend. And it's also important to forgive ourselves for not being able to forgive in the moment. Is a process daily, and you have to let go of the hurt first and realize that you can't control those people, and it's a process.
Yes, it is. And Annie, that's, you know, we think about living our lives on purpose. When you know you have a purpose, I know you know why you're here, there's something that's energizing that allows you to face these tough things by taking the next right one step and doing it. It's very powerful. Okay, thank you, Annie. Let's go to California. Sadie has a comment about in-laws, apparently, and taking some responsibility. So, Sadie, thanks for your call. Go right ahead.
Hi, good morning, Dr. Randy. I have a suggestion. I know my mother-in-law can be a little bit overwhelming sometimes in telling us what to do to me and my husband. So what I try to do is just smile at her in a respectful way, agree with her. But at the end of the day, when I go home, me and my husband tend to do the things that we think are best for our children, even though my mother-in-law tends to think she has the right to tell us how to raise their kids. But all I could tell everyone is just take a breather and smile and agree. And once you get home at the end of the day, you decide what's best for your family.
Yeah. Hey, listen, that's one way of taking this thing we talk about, boundaries, you know, making that work in your life. Appreciate your sharing with us. Let me see. I think we can get Crystal on. Crystal is in Arizona and has a comment for us today. Go right ahead, Crystal. Appreciate your call.
I have been struggling with forgiveness from my father for the past, since I was 7, and I'm now almost 62. So he molested me as a child, and I find it very hard to forgive, even though I know I am a prisoner in my life if I don't. But he's since passed, and I feel there's no more hurt that he can give me. But I pray every day to give me the strength to keep on this path of positiveness.
All right. Well, thank you, Crystal. It's, you know, life has its curves. You're 62 years old, and it's for all of these years you've carried this hurt of what your father did. And forgiveness is such a difficult thing, and I think it gets misunderstood. In fact, I was doing some teaching on the topic of the steps of forgiveness that'll be coming up in a future membership teaching. And I talked about the fact when you look at Christ and his forgiveness and what he did for us, the forgiveness started with a sacrifice. You know, God sent his son, that was a sacrifice, sent to earth, and in Christ had to live among us. That's a sacrifice. And then
He died. He physically died for us. That's a sacrifice. All that he did was a sacrifice. And one of the things I recognize when we ask someone to forgive, and you're being asked to forgive something that maybe was never asked of you to forgive. It's just something you need to do because you know it's the right thing to do. But there's a sacrifice. And for all of us, when you're asked to forgive or you need to forgive, you might be sacrificing the right to hold them, continue to hold that over their head. Or you might be giving up the expectations of a perfect life or perfect marriage. We see this so often in when there's been an affair in a marriage. And there needs to be forgiveness. I'm talking about where there's been marital unfaithfulness, and then the person who has been unfaithful says, "Hey, I apologize. I'm sorry." Wants to restore the marriage. Has every intention of working on the marriage. Is repentant, and it's hard for the other person to forgive, and it's understandable because there's a sacrifice. The perfect marriage you thought you were going to have is no longer there. There's a brokenness. There's a crack in there that's going to be healed over time. And what I find when I've worked with people is that if you go through that process, that months and sometimes years later, the healing is stronger and the crack is stronger together than it ever was before and more beautiful than ever. Yeah, it's a new normal in the process. Knowing your purpose and then living it, there's resilience there, isn't there? Thank you, Crystal. Appreciate it. Hey, listen, I'd love to hear your thoughts and comments on today and about this brand new year. We're just early into 2019. We make this a year of living on purpose. Have you found your purpose? Do you have your purpose? Are you ready to pursue it? We're here to help you do it every day. The Intentional Living Solution Center is your friend. And by the way, when you come to our Facebook, every day a brand new teaching. We're going to be right there on video, a short little minute video, the Intentional Minute to help you and just get you off to a good start. We post it every morning early, so you might want to stop by and check it out. You can go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And of course, Facebook, just go to Facebook/intentionalliving. For Rob and Steve and the rest of the team, thanks for joining us today. And for all of our members, those who make this program and this ministry possible, because they truly do, thank you for your ongoing prayers and financial support. God bless you. That's why we're here. So from all of us, have a good day. We'll see you next time from our Intentional Living Center.